Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
The title of the message today is Take Action. Do we have a slide in the background? Don't know if we have that. Okay, but if we don't, anyway, the title of the message is Take Action, and the subtitle is Boundaries or Guidelines. Boundaries or Guidelines. And if you have the opportunity to take notes today, I do suggest that you do take notes. It is a take note type sermon. So, you know, do that. And this is going to be some practical steps for you to actually lay hold of some of the things that God has for you in 2018 if you take it and you apply it. So this scripture here in Genesis, very interesting one, Genesis 2, verse 4 to 5 that we read. I was really praying about this subject matter and looking at, Lord, how can I encourage the church in regards to taking action? And as God's been doing for about maybe 8 months now, every time when I'm praying that prayer, he keeps referring me to the book of Genesis. And he's showing me stuff that's taking place in the beginning that really lays the parameters for the rest of scripture, which is a very powerful thing. In this scripture here, we see the whole idea that God had not, he'd not brought forth such certain increase on the earth. There was certain things that had not grown yet. And there was two reasons why he said that that had not happened. The first one was the obvious, that it had not rained yet. If you plant a seed and it's not rained yet, then you can't expect the increase. But the second one is not so obvious. He said that there was no man to till the earth. So this scripture gives us an idea of how God sees things before he wants to bring about certain increase. He wants there to be somebody who is going to set certain boundaries and conditions to that increase that he's going to bring. So the first thing to think about this morning is if there's any, I'm sounding real loud. Can I just come down slightly? The first thing to think about this morning is that if there's some areas of your life that you've not really been seeing increase in, if you have a dream, if you have a vision for something that God's given you, it could be anything. It can be your ministry, it could be your business, it can be your marriage, it could be your children, it could be your relationships with other family members, it could be absolutely, if it could be your weight. Come on now, 2018, everybody's got a new weight plan. We know that we were snacking over Christmas. Oh, everyone was doing it. Come on now. When they heard about the fast, I saw people laughing. Bring on the fast, bro. I knew that people were eating a lot over Christmas. That's the only time people get excited about a fast. But praise God, whatever that thing is, if you've been not really seeing increase in that area, or you feel like that thing's dying a little bit, my question to you would be, have you set boundaries and parameters? And what have you put in place in order to see that thing grow? Or have you just been praying about it and hoping it's going to happen? Because I tell you something, one of the biggest killers for people's dreams and visions is thinking that just sticking in the prayer closet is going to make it happen. People think that they can just pray and that's going to make it happen. Believe me, you can pray, and praying is what you need to do, because there's no point acting before prayer. But once you've prayed and you've labored in the prayer closet, you got to take yourself out the prayer closet, and now it's time for action. You got to take yourself out of that place of prayer, and now you've got to put it into action. I like this whole image that's being painted in Genesis here, because you see that God is growing this beautiful garden, Eden, and you could even take Eden as an expression of life. He wants to grow things. He wants to increase things. He wants to take things to new levels. He wants to do that. And in order to do that, there's certain things that he required. There's certain things that he was expecting. And there's a powerful quote here that I have from Les Brown. And he says, life is a fight for territory. And once you stop fighting for what you want, what you don't want will automatically take over. I like that picture. Because it makes you understand that standing still is definite defeat. Standing still in life is definite defeat. If you're not taking ground, if you're not setting boundaries, if you're not putting things in place, you're not just staying stationary, you're actually going back. That's the danger with life. You can't just stand still and think that you're going to remain at that place. You won't remain at that place. You will find yourself slipping into failure. It doesn't matter how many times you fall in church. It's if you choose not to get back up. It doesn't matter how many challenges you've had. It's if you choose not to fight anymore. If you choose not to keep stepping forward, then that's where the issue is. You see, I believe that our life was not for us to just believe in Jesus Christ and to receive salvation and just to be happy that we now have this promise of eternal life. Because the Bible tells us that Christ came to give us life and life more abundant. So I don't know about you, but I'm not just happy with the life. I want to experience the life more. Come on now. We'll do that again later and see if you catch that one belt. I'm not just happy with the life. I want to experience that life more. See how slow I did it as well. Make sure you can keep up with it. Come on now. So I've got three major points that I want you to take note of. These are things that you got to put in place if you really want to see innovation and growth in your life. But then also as well, for each of those points, I've got three other points. So in total, there's 9 points. But there is 3 points if you want to simplify it. And that will just make it a little bit easier. Okay. So this is point one. Okay. The first thing you've got to be able to do is see it. Everybody say, see it. You've got to be able to see it. And I want to refer to the children of Israel when they were going in to possess the promised land, because I believe that the promised land, for some people, the promised land just represents salvation. But the promised land for me is taking territory on earth and the vision that God has for you actually being manifest in different areas. First of all, it starts off with thoughts of the mind, conditions of the heart, and then that starts to come out of you and starts to impact society, and then it starts to touch different things. It can be your ministry, as I said, it could be your business, it could be your family. God wants to impact every single area of your life. Joshua 1, verse 1 to 3, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that your sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. Praise God. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Amen. God didn't mess around in this one. He was like, look, Moses is dead, bro. Time to rise up. And this is the thing is about God, is God has some stuff that he wants to see done on earth. And if you don't stand up to be that person, you'll find number two. God will find number two. But let's just make it that God can deal pleasantly with the idea that number one is standing up and taking hold of what he's given to them. You see, Joshua, he knew that he had to go over and take possession of this land. God did say that he was giving it to Israel. But the thing was, is even though God had given it to them, they had to physically take possession of it. When they went into the promised land, there was still the enemy in there. There were still giants in the land. And they had to go in there and they had to fight and they had to take possession. So why is it sometimes in our Christian walk that we don't think that we have to exert any effort? Why is it that in our Christian walk, you know, we get into this whole thing where we start to think that the battle is between grace and works? Like, okay, no, it's no works, bro. I ain't got to do nothing. It's all good. I prayed. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. God will work it out. I'm praying about it. That's when you're not understanding the scripture fully. They prayed about it, and God told them what to do, and then they had to act on it. So the one thing that I want you to get ready to do after this service is whatever the vision is that God gives you life, I want you to be ready to act on it. Act on it. Take action. So the first thing is vision. You've got to know what it is that God has for you. Last time when Pastor Sonny came to visit us, he said that, you know, there's a vision for the ministry, but also you should have a personal vision for your life. Personal vision for your life. What is your personal vision? What is it that God is saying to you? What is it that he has called you to do? Sometimes people can get mixed up in the fact that, you know, we do have a corporate vision and we're working towards that corporate vision. But what's supposed to happen is your personal vision is supposed to assist in the growth, development, and direction of the corporate vision. But a lot of people are letting their vision die. A lot of people don't even know what their vision is. And you see, the problem is if you don't know what your vision is, then you won't know what you want. And you know what they say. In fact, I forgot what they say. You know what I say. But you got to have a vision. My thing is this is, in honesty, how much time do you take out of your life to schedule with God to actually get a vision for your life? Write that down. Schedule it. Schedule time to seek God's face in regards to the vision he has for you. A while back now, I was doing a 40-day fast, and I was praying, and God started to speak to me, and I got to a place where I had finished university, studied counseling and therapeutic studies, and I always had a passion for music. But I didn't want to really be a music artist. I just liked doing it and messing around with it. And, you know, I found it interesting. But then one day I got vexed in the house. I was like, you know what? I'm tired of making these beats in my room. I don't want to do that no more. I'm a grown man. What's a grown man doing sitting in the room making beats? I was like, forget this. I ain't doing it no more. Packed up the computer, put it to the side. I'm not making beats no more. I can't be bothered. I've got to be more productive than this. And then I just started praying. I was like, God, you've given me this thing for some reason. I know that you've given me this thing, but the truth is I ain't doing nothing with it until you tell me what it's there for. That's where I got to. And then one day, does anybody know that feeling when God wakes you up in the morning and starts speaking? Beautiful feeling when he wakes you up. Boom, you woke up and he's just talking. He's like halfway in the conversation. You're like, Lord, let me catch up. It was one of those ones. God started speaking to me. He was talking to me. And he started to show me the company that he wanted me to start. And it made sense because it was utilizing music, media, and the arts, but it was also counseling and mentoring. And everything started to fall into place, and I started to understand why he took me on this journey. I started to understand why he allowed me to achieve in this area and then brought me success in that area and how he was going to bring it together. And do you know why it was that I came to this place where I knew where all this was, why all this was instilled in me? Because I had separated myself. I had separated myself. Sometimes in life, we're so busy, so much in the hustle and the bustle and the moving around and the answering of demands. How many people know that there's demands on a daily basis? I like to get up early, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, and start to get working on me. The reason being is because I know as soon as it gets to 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, game over. My email address is ringing. WhatsApp is ringing. Phones is ringing. Missed calls already there. WhatsApps are already there waiting at 4. Can you imagine? Waiting for me. The demands of life are now starting to demand. And I can end up spending the rest of my day just meeting those demands. And you could spend your day meeting so much demands that you don't actually get onto that other stuff. So you've got to schedule the time to say, I just need to be quiet and be with the Lord and meditate and listen and hear. And I scheduled that time and I got to the point where God showed me this vision. And praise God, this vision now, God's got it flying. Now it's in the schools. Now it's in the colleges. Now it's in universities. And this was because I took the time out to listen. Your schedule is a big thing. This scripture in Genesis, it was talking about somebody who would till the earth. When I was looking in to what it meant to till the earth, one of the interesting things is it was talking about putting someone who would put it under bondage. And I was like, what on earth does that mean? Put the earth under bondage. But then when I really started to study it, what it was talking about is somebody who would give it restrictions. You know, like when someone's enslaved. If someone's enslaved, then it's kind of like, okay, you can't do that and you can't do that. This is what you got to do. That person has been put under bondage. And that's what God wanted someone to do. He wanted someone who would put that which he was bringing increase to you under bondage, give it some limitations. You can't do that. You can't do that. You've got to do this. But my thing is how much have you put your life under bondage? How much guidelines have you given your life? How much restrictions have you given your life? But 9 times out of 10, when people don't give their life those guidelines, it's because they don't have a vision. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they want. So therefore, they can't set those parameters. The second thing that you got to do is you've got to make a decision. You have to make a decision. There's a lot of people in life who struggle with making definite decisions. Matter of fact, for a long time in my life, I was a king at not making decisions. I could sidestep nicely. You ever done the sidestep? When there's a big decision that has to be made, so you sidestep that thing. One of the problems with the sidestep is if the decision is big enough, is it's pending. It's pending answer. And the thing about that is when it's pending answer, it ends up compounding over time. And it becomes heavier and more weightier. And then by the time it comes to knock on the door later, Shando. Now you know what time it is. You should have answered that question before. It's like a bill. For example, you got a bill and you think, oh, just forget about that. Sidestep. You can't sidestep a bill. It's going to come back, compound it. Bigger and stronger, knocking on your door louder. You've got to make a decision. A lot of people don't make a decision about the vision that God gives them. They have something that God has spoken to in their heart. They thought about it every now and then. But they're still not making a decision. Even when you're speaking to him, they speak about it as though it's a third party. Like it's just an idea. It's just a concept. It's not yet been personalized. They're not yet living it. For example, if someone's been given the vision of being a business owner and you speak to him, they speak to you about the idea of it instead of saying, I'm a businessman or a businesswoman. You see where I'm going with this? It's still out there. It's not internalized. And you've got to get the vision and say, you know what? This is me. This is what God has called me to do. You've got to get to the place where you're comfortable with that vision that God has given you. You're not two ways about it. When you speak to somebody about it, you're able to tell them straight what the vision is that God has given you and what it is that you're looking to deliver. And that way you're not double-sided. You're not double-minded. The Bible talks about double-minded people. They won't be successful. It's not going to be fruitful. The third point is you've got to calculate the cost. You've got to calculate the cost. This is a big thing when the vision that God's given you is going to move away from being a concept to being reality. It's calculating the cost. You can tell when people are daydreaming when they're just in a dream world, when they think that it's not going to take any personal effort. They drift around for a little bit, and those are the ones that are going to be quick to fail. They'll go forward with what it is that God's shown them, and they'll start to experiment with the market, so to speak, or they'll start to try that thing out and try that thing out, start to walk into that thing. God might have showed them that they're a worship leader. They might have found out, okay, I've got a voice here. This is what I want to do. They start going worship on Thursdays, and the next thing you know, they've got the demand of the schedule now, and they've got to be at church extra early before the rest of the church, and they're like, you know what? I don't know if I can sing anymore. Shando. They've not calculated the cost. It was all good when you was just talking about it. And what really gets me is people get really excited about the fact that they've talked about it. It's like they've achieved it. Yeah, look, this is what God told me. This is great. That's good. But go out and start to live it. Come back in 6 months' time and then come with that same passion. Come back with that same passion. Let me see that passion. So you got to calculate the cost. You got to understand that in order for that vision that God gives you at the very start to actually come to pass, it's going to cost you something. And are you willing to pay the price? What I always think about is people who have been successful in a certain area, especially that for me personally, any area that I've been, I'm looking success in or I've been successful in, I always look for a model of that industry. Somebody who's been successful in that. And when I hit a hard point, when I hit a place where I'm challenged, the one thing that I think about is, well, this person must have hit this place of challenge and they didn't stop. They didn't stop. So that means it's possible. And if it's possible, then I'm going to do it. If you're that worship leader, for example, and you're looking at the rest of the worship team and you're like, wow, so they're worshiping, they're practicing every Thursday, and they're getting up this time on a Sunday, and they're coming down and, you know, that's what they're doing, then you know what, I can do it. And I'm speaking to women, it's not like they just got no life. You're speaking to these guys and, you know, there's PhDs, there's teachers, these people are putting in work. But you know why? Because they calculated the cost. They calculated the cost. That's going to be one of the big things in actually seeing it. Because the truth of the matter is, you haven't fully seen it until you've seen it with the cost. You haven't fully seen it until you've seen it with the cost. Because when you've seen it without the cost, it's just a daydream. But when you've seen it with the cost, now you mean business. The second section is, do it. So the first part, you need to see it. Now you need to do it. 1 Joshua 10 to 11 says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare your provision for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over the Jordan. I'm just going to stop there. Joshua wasn't messing about. Joshua knew what it was that God told him was going to happen. And now he's saying, look, listen, prepare yourself. We're doing it. Prepare yourself. We are doing it. And this comes down to setting goals. That's your next point, setting goals. You need to be able to set goals. If you're going to be successful in anything, you need to be able to set goals. The best way to set your goals is to basically look at what it is that you want to achieve and then work your way backwards. If what you want to achieve is over here, then work your way backwards to where you are over here. Because where you're trying to go, you ain't there yet. If you thought you was there, burst in your bubble. The big pin, the big dream, burst that thing. You ain't there yet. And when I say you ain't there yet, I'm not just talking about being there physically. I'm talking about you're not there mentally. You're not there. You're not there emotionally. You're not there. You're not there in so many ways. You don't have the resources around you. You don't have the people around you you're going to need. You don't have the team around you who you're going to need. You don't have the knowledge around you that you need. It's going to take a journey for you to get from where you are to where it is that you're going. But you ain't going to get there unless you start to set goals. So you set your goals. You work your way back and you say, okay, for me to get there, it's going to take this, then that's going to lead on to that, and that's going to lead on to that, and that's going to lead on to that. So, okay, I've got to get this right here. I got to get this step right here. This is my next step. A lot of people don't set those goals. You've got to be efficient at goal setting. The great thing about when you've set your goals and you're so clear about it is that the demands of life that start to come around you, you're now able to prioritize more effectively. you can now prioritize more effectively because you're going to get asked, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you be here? Need to do this? Need to do that? And you're going to be like, no, I can't do that. Or yes, I can do that. I'll be honest with you, in the last 2 months of my life, no has been a word that I've used more commonly than ever before. And it's not just because I want to say no for no reason. It's because there's some stuff that I can't do if I'm going towards... This is an early keyboard. Praise the Lord. But I don't mind a little praise up in here. The reason why I use that no is because I'm putting them boundaries on my life. I'm setting those goals. So because I'm setting those goals, when I'm asked something, I have to assess whether this thing that I'm being asked, is it in line with where I'm going? If it's not in line with where I'm going, then I ain't got time for that. Let's just chop that out. Let's not waste time. Let me not waste my time, and let me not waste your time. Because I'm trying to be effective. So I need to be able to set my goals. The next point is execution. I got to be able to execute. This is one of the hardest ones for me. The reason being is because this is one of the hardest things for a king of procrastination to do. I'm king procrastinator, I tell you. But I force myself to do things. Force myself to do it. I was having a conversation with my friend Martin the other day, and I said, bro, we need to force ourselves to do something every single day. Every single day. So when we go to the gym, for example, I force myself to run. I don't know about you, but I'm just one of those people there's two things that I cannot stand. I can't stand the cold. And I cannot stand running. I don't run for nothing. For nothing. I can be late. I'm one of them people who, if I'm late, I have like an internal battle. Like, I'm late, but should I run? And I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm getting more later. And I'm like, I ain't running, man. I'm just not doing it. It's not happening. And I'm walking in and I'm late and people are looking at me like, why is he taking his time? They don't understand my problem. That's my problem. But you know what I did? I started jogging. I went to the gym, started jogging. Let me tell you, it's hard. I don't like doing it. It's painful. I'm jogging. Like, I see some people like doing stuff like watching TV and stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? Like talking, having casual convos. I'm like, what's wrong with these people? Like, I'm under pressure here. I'm jogging and every single step's just pain. I'm like, bro, you can do it. I'm visualizing crazy stuff. I'm like running with armies and stuff. Come on, guys, we got to do it. We got to make it. Like, I have to pump myself up like this just to get through it because I'm a procrastinator. But you know what it does? It makes me able to push through the pain threshold because I make myself do something I have to do. But I don't want to do. And that is the art of execution. We moved on to something which was real deep, which was cold showers. Oh my goodness. I ain't got time to explain about that one. But when you're someone who don't like cold, let me tell you, when you voluntarily put yourself in a cold shower, you either got goals or you're crazy. One of the two. Sake of time, I gotta run, hurry this up a bit. Consistency, that's the other point, consistency. You gotta be consistent. It's easy to get something started, but to maintain it. Shando, people felt that, I could feel it. To maintain a vision is different than to get a vision started because this relies on endurance. And you can get weary. You got to be consistent. You got to be able to, over time, grind the thing out. And I can't get up here and tell you that there's any easy way to do it. There isn't an easy way to do it. But you've got to fix yourself and be determined to do it. And you got to say, I'm going to repeat this thing daily. You need daily habits. These things that we talked about today, this is something you have to have in your schedule daily. It's not something to just visit like every now and then, like every 6 months, like, oh, what was that sermon again? Execute, that was it. Still on procrastination. You got to get on it daily. For the sake of the keyboard, we're going to move on swiftly. The last section is assess it. So you've had see it, you've had do it, and now you're on to assess it. You got to measure the impact. That's the point. The whole thing is about being effective. So you've seen where you're going, you've set your goals, and now you've got to sit down and you have to measure it. You have to say, okay, how effective have I been at what it is that I'm trying to achieve? I got to look at that. Let me tell you something. If you don't believe me, you got to ask my wife. If something's not working, I'm just not in it. I'm one of them guys. I'll do something for a time, but if it's not working, if it's not moving towards the vision, peace, this thing is not working. I don't mean abandon ship. I mean assess your goals. There's a difference. So you got to measure the impact. You got to look at it and say, you know what? Is my direction that I'm going in, is it fruitful? Is it bringing about what it is that we're expecting? And then from measuring the impact, you got to reevaluate your goals. You look at your goals and you say, these goals that I've set, maybe I need to move them a little bit. Maybe I need to change them a little bit. Maybe I need to adjust them a little bit. You know, I was getting up at 4, but this ain't enough time. Maybe I need to get up at 3. Come on now, pay the price. Remember counting the cost? That was that point. Remember that point? But you're looking at it and you're saying, this requires more of me now. I got to do more. I got to put in more. And the last one is to recommit. You know that the second push that you do in towards any vision is probably harder than the first push. It's probably harder than the first push because of two things. Number one, either success can be your biggest failure because you succeeded to a certain mark and you couldn't see beyond that. And you're just like, okay, we made it now. Now what? Or you took a step and the return fire was heavy and you was like, whoa, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't want to push no more. That step can be the hardest to recommit. But you got to be able to recommit to those goals and take those steps. I believe that in here, we have so many visions and dreams that God has been speaking into hearts. In general conversation, when I speak to people on a one-to-one, I hear that God is speaking things. He's saying things. There's an expansion of vision. There's dreams. There's things that God wants to do. And I believe that 2018 is going to be one of the most fruitful years in seeing innovation take place in Victory Outreach Manchester. But my point has been very simple today. It's that there's going to take boundaries, restrictions, scheduling. It has to be placed upon your life in order to see that come to pass. It's that simple. If you think that you're going to continue as you did in 2017 and get different results in 2018, it's not going to happen. So I had this word at the start of the year, and I want to share it with the church, which is God is giving you all that he has for you, but success is not given. Success is taken every day. So if you just stand, church, so the worship team could return. As the worship team start to worship, I want us just to think about those visions, those dreams, those goals, those next steps that you need to take. Because I know that God is spoke to hearts this morning. And I know that there's either people in this room that say, you know what? I've really got to take the time out to find out the vision God has for my life. I need to know what it is. I need to have a definiteness of purpose, a definiteness of direction. I'm floating around. There's no actual direction to my life. It's just stuff. And I don't want that no more. Or you're a person that says, you know what? I have a vision. God has spoken to me. I've had that answer. But the execution is something that I'm struggling with, and I'm at a place of procrastination. I find excuses all the time. I'm not scheduling time with the Lord. I'm not sitting down and strategizing. I'm not setting my goals. I'm not taking those steps. Well, as the worship team start to worship, we're just going to make an altar. We're going to open up the altar right here. And I want people to just come forward, stand at the altar, and just start to speak to God concerning the next step.
To find out more about us, go to www.vomanchester.org and feel free to come and visit us every Sunday at our 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. services. See you soon.